successful. Dolphins in the sea, all of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. There's a voice. Hallelujah. I really feel like the Lord is speaking to us about sensitivity of the Holy One and the Holy Spirit. And the combination of the Holy One wrapped with Jesus Christ as the one that is moving it into the realm of the Spirit. And our sensitivity, when we hear it, God's trying to say something. He's speaking through creation. In every aspect, I think about the rain yesterday, and it was kind of piddling around, and all of a sudden it just opened up. The skies opened up, and I knew the grass was being fed. I knew the grain was being, I mean, it was like they were just raising their hands and saying, wow, the water of the Holy One of Israel. Who can give you water? Hallelujah. Only God can do that. Hallelujah. I'm out there with my little water hose. No. Lord, go ahead and open up the heavens. We thank you. We praise you for it, Lord. Thank you for this time. Holy One, Holy One, Holy One. Hallelujah. If you have a prophetic thought or something that you're feeling like the Lord is speaking, please come.
I just heard in my spirit this morning, the Lord said, I'm calling off the attack. And I heard him say that David, he strengthened himself in the Lord. And he recovered all when he did that. And that's what I just felt the Lord was saying in my spirit this morning.
All right. I really believe that from the prophetic, if you look in the bulletin from the prophetic that we started on probably 5 weeks ago, Jamie had... Bringing peace out of chaos, or was it peace? Beauty. Okay. All right. And we've kind of been, if you're reading on that, the prophetic things. Go ahead.
Certainly didn't mean to interrupt. As soon as Jake started praying, the Holy Spirit said, I'm all over that. He's all over that.
All right. Hallelujah. I know a word last week was a new time. A new time in the house. And I really feel like this time is now. I believe that it's a now time that we're living in. And I think that in the next 3 months, just observe what's going on. Even with our kids leaving to go, there's something in the Holy Spirit that's going on with that whole movement. And we're doing some stuff in the fair and prayer and different things. I really believe that God's unifying the city together in the realm of the Holy One. And He's brooding over the city. Hallelujah. 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 Anyone else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we lift up our children's ministry. Let's pray together. Let's just in the power of the Holy Spirit with Tom and Jen and all of those that are going to be working and helping. Father, that we will move into the areas of the warfare where we go there because we know the war is there and we are warriors. And God, we contend in the power of the Holy Spirit that every person, every young person, whether they be there or not, God, that there would be a spiritual force that would begin to take over their lives in such a way, God, that you would place even the word ministers over their lives. God, they're ministers of reconciliation, bringing their generation into this day and this hour. It's almost, I see a cell phone before we had cell phones and people in other countries did not have any communication like the telephones that we had back in those days. And it's almost like that God is giving a new technology in the Holy Spirit. And that you'll be able to use this power to relay and getting messages from heaven and working in the realms of the heavenly. Hallelujah. And it's almost like a technology of a cell phone, but it's in the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. You may be seated. You can just stay there. Hallelujah. Well, good, good, good. Hallelujah. Great to have you here this morning. Great to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know if you noticed on Facebook where Steve, they had a well drilled in Uganda. Did anyone see that on Facebook, if you're on Facebook? And I was thinking about 1,000 people getting together to celebrate a well that is bringing water to the villages. And the kids were just so excited. And then I talked with Sandra, and she said, yeah, the kids, sometimes they'd come to church and they'd have a spout that would shoot the water up into the air. So it was like something like this. And the ladies and the kids would come and it would, like it was the big shower, Sunday morning shower before going to church. And I thought that was pretty cool, you know. And so Steve, there's some great things continuing to go on in Uganda. You can lift up those folks. It's like having a Sunday afternoon church service that we'll have down at the park or down in Sand Hill this afternoon. In Jesus' name. Jen, would you come and give us a little information on what's going on?
Okay, so today we're heading out to camp and we're really excited about it. We're really excited for what God's going to do in the kids. The kids are excited. We have a lot planned for this week, a lot of fun activities, but also a lot of worship and a lot of dance and a lot of different things that we want to do with the kids this week. And we are just so excited. God is doing so much in the kids, and we just want to continue to see what God's going to do with them. In that, we are needing more finances. We still need, I don't know, it's over 2,000. We still need money to cover our speaker and just some different things that go into camp. But we are just believing that God is going to supply everything that we need for that. But we are looking for donations. We are looking still for that. But God is moving in the kids, and we are just really, really excited for what he's doing. And they are excited, and we are as well.
All right. If you're wanting to give into that, get a hold of Danny after the service, one way or another. This is some of the most important things we consider is what's going on back in the generational room as they're coming up. So if you're wanting to do that, you can make it your checks payable to Community Church, and you can give them to Danny, because it's at this date. They're leaving today, so. All right, hallelujah. Praise God. Remember last week I said I'm getting two big checks this week? I got two big checks this week. Hallelujah. 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 You say, well, you sound like you're bragging. I am. I am bragging in the Lord. Because I said, I'm going to get them checks this week. And you know, on Friday night, I go to the cell phone. I was having some struggles with Uganda cell phone deal. Anyway, and they took an hour. And I was trying to get these checks, you see. Because I said I wanted to be more than a conqueror. And I told the congregation I was going to get two checks. And so I got two checks, praise the Lord. So, you looking for checks? Andy, you get your check? All right. Hallelujah. Look for them checks. It'd be a big blessing. Then Jen will rejoice big time too. So, well, we're going to have an opportunity to sow into that kingdom, kingdom of God, with your tithes, your offerings. Thank you, Jeff. If you're making out a check, you can make it. Thank you, Josh, Jeff, whoever. Hallelujah. All right. Well, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to sow into the kingdom, God, with our tithes, our offerings, especially during this summer season, Lord, that there will be all sorts of checks floating around, that people, they'll see things that they didn't think they could or couldn't happen, but it'll happen. Amen. Young people over there in the corner, are you ready for miracles in your finances? Yeah, why not, you know? Yeah, I know you get a weekly wage, but, you know, how about something happening so wild that, you know, just an additional deal that the Lord would do for you, all right? All right. Father, we thank you for supplying all our needs according to your riches, not our riches, not our thoughts, your riches in glory. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can give. And boy, what a privilege, Lord, to live in the United States of America. The greatest, as far as I'm concerned, the greatest place to live on the face of the earth. And so, Father, we ask, Lord, for a tremendous blessing upon this offering now and increase it 100-fold and even 1,000-fold. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you in your giving. Hallelujah. We are carrying on. We are carrying on with our teaching. It's been kind of rough to kind of get online, but the Lord was speaking to me out of the foundational teachings out of Hebrews 4, chapter 4 up to chapter 6, and it was talking about the elementary principles of the doctrine of Christ. All right. Sometimes people say, well, what kind of doctrinal beliefs do you have? And I just said, well, go over to Hebrews 6, and there's six foundational stones. Do you know a house requires a good foundation? You know, and if you don't, you know, usually that's what they check. I get calls sometimes, would you come over and check this foundation? The house looks all right, but the foundation looks tough. Well, God has a strong foundation called six foundational stones. I'm not going to get into it because David probably going to hit some areas there. And so we've got David Lyon is going to share with us on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And of course, we always go back and say, well, that's tongues and all that stuff. But there's so much more depth in that. And like I said, we can receive that in one day's time. You can repent. You can ask Jesus into your life. You can get water baptized. And you can be filled with the Holy Spirit in one day. I call it the one-day church. And don't stretch it out longer than you need to. Amen. And so I really believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is what makes us really achieve what God's wanting us to achieve in these days ahead. So, David, would you come? Let's give him a community church welcome. Hallelujah. We believe that he's got the word of the Lord for us. Hallelujah. You hooked up? Oh, yeah. All right. Bless you, brother.
Like you, I just need to get turned on.
Yeah.
Really appreciate our praise and worship team, don't you? I mean, and sound people and... Hey, how are we doing with PowerPoints today? Are we good there? Awesome. All right. man, I've just been really blessed. I could go home and feel like I've been edified and blessed. How about you? We're just sort of getting started here. So praise God. Well, basically what we've got going on right now is about a 15-gallon message in a 10-gallon time frame. So we're going to move on really quick with this today. And Pastor made mention of Ephesians chapter, or actually Hebrews chapter 6. So we'll go ahead and look over there. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit baptism. This is an exciting area for me because it's something that I've been studying for about 40 years. 40 years is a long time to be studying something, but I find I'm always learning something new, something that I've never seen before. Just spoke with Pastor Jake a couple weeks ago. He mentioned about two more baptisms, and I thought, I've read this I don't know how many times. I can't believe I didn't see that. And so then I began to study and look into that, and I was like, wow, I'm understanding, I'm learning, I'm growing. And that's why we're here today. We've come to the house of the Lord to learn to grow. But Timothy was spoken to by the Apostle Paul, and he said, teach faithful men who will also teach others. So please, if you're sitting here today and you're going, oh, I can hardly wait for him to be done because I know everything there is to know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I've heard it all before, and then you want to tune me out so that I'm like Charlie Brown's teacher, wah, 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 you're not going to get anything, you know? So it's maybe not about you today. It's about information you're going to receive and impart so you can share that with others, your friends, your neighbors, your children. I remember my father coming up to me, grabbing me, hauling me off into the bathroom and say, I want to accept this Jesus that you've been living. And I had to share with him how to receive Jesus, but the only way I knew anything is somebody shared that with me. And the easiest way to give to somebody is just give what you got. But today you're going to get more to give. All right. So Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And then he says, and this we will do if God permits. Well, God, I believe, is permitting so that we can grow and come to an understanding of more spiritual matters. If you were to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 15, I won't take time to read it because, like I said, I've only got a 10-gallon jug and a 15-gallon message, so I've got to move along here. But the King James Version makes mention of knowledge, and we need knowledge. But do you know, World New Testament makes mention of full knowledge. You can have knowledge of something, but maybe not have a full knowledge of something, agreed? I understand that if I start my car by putting the key in and turn it, it'll run. But I don't have a knowledge of what's going on under the hood. I just know that I know my part. I have some knowledge, but there's full knowledge. But then if I were to start working on my engine, I'd probably get in trouble because I don't have full and accurate knowledge. So there's knowledge, full knowledge, and full and accurate knowledge. And that's what we want to do today, is grow more in our knowledge, fuller knowledge, and accurate knowledge. So if Christians do not receive sound teaching or doctrine, because a doctrine is a foundational teaching, that's why Pastor was saying that these six foundations are a foundation or a doctrine. And we don't hear much about doctrine anymore, but a doctrine is just basically what is your foundation. It's a doctrine. So what happens if people don't receive sound teaching? One, they remain a baby in Christ, immature and carnal. All right. Secondly, they remain unequipped to be involved in helping establish God's kingdom on the earth and in the hearts of men and to assist in building his church. What else? They're unable to arrive at a oneness of the faith with those around them. Thus, we see divisions and strife and disharmony rather than unity and peace. I remember I took over a church in, Atlanta, Georgia. They told me they were $1 million in debt when I got there, but they had lied because it was $1.7 million, but it's like this one minister, he said, when I called up and I was talking to Pastor Parsley and stuff, he says, what's zeros? What's numbers? If 1 million or 1.7, it's way beyond you anyway, so just believe God. So it's like, okay. But one of the things that I found about that church was is there is syncretism, which is a theological term for I believe a little this, I believe a little that. Nobody was really on a same page with what they believed, so I just began to teach doctrine, lay down a foundation. This is what we believe. And it began to bring a unity, but with others, it began to cause them to leave, which was okay, because, you know, any healthy body, you have a healthy body, it has a front door that works, and it has a back door that works. And if the back door doesn't work, something's going to happen. Then you become constipated Christians, which is a totally different message, which we don't need today. So anyway, but God does send spiritual enemas into the house of God. So anyway, one of the things we see, though, is we began to grow because, and unity was formed because of the fact that sound doctrine unified us. If you don't have sound doctrine, what will happen is people will be moved from anchoring of their faith and beliefs, and they become tossed in to and fro with every wind of doctrine or teaching and adversity of life. And finally, they'll be unable to fully and accurately instruct others if you don't have full, accurate knowledge. So we're going to take a look at the principal doctrines of Christ, or the first principles of the oracles of God. We just looked at that. It's found in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to chapter 6, verse 3. We won't take time to read it. We just read the primary part, if we would. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 2, we see there's the doctrine of Christ. Now, let me just say that. That's not about Jesus necessarily, because everybody thinks that Christ was Jesus' last name. It was his his title. It was it comes from a Greek word, Christos, meaning the anointing or the anointed one. So Jesus Christ, Jesus the anointed one. And that's why we're called Christians, or actually little anointed ones. So the anointing that was on Christ should be evidenced in the body of Christ on the Christian, the little anointed one. When you say you're a Christian, what you really could be saying is, hi, I'm a little anointed one. But we don't see ourselves that way, and that's one of the reasons that we've been robbed of the power that Christ has intended. And so then we have repentance from dead works. Well, that's not just towards salvation, but sometimes you need to repent of the dead works you've been involved in trying to serve God. You know, not every church that opens, some of them become dead works. And, you know, Paul started a number of churches. You know, the Apostle Paul started churches, right? But do you know that not all of them are still open? See, Ecclesiastes says that there's a time and a season for everything under the sun, a time to be born and a time to die. There's time for churches to start and there's time for churches to close. It's just the truth of the matter. And, you know, we don't like churches to close, obviously, but the truth of the matter is, if it all it is just a bunch of spiders running around inside of a spider web and nothing's really growing, everything's just dying there and it's all just dead works. You know, sometimes we do is even our devotions can become dead works. And maybe God just wants us to do something different. I want you to go outside today and just sit and listen. Well, that's not what I do. Get behind me, devil. You know? And then you might be outside and you listen to the birds singing. And all of a sudden God gives you a revelation that that's a language he understands. And you begin to listen. I was the other day, just I heard this beautiful bird. And I got out of the car, I listened to him, and then he stopped. And I said, that was beautiful. I'd like to hear you praise the Lord some more. Do it again. And then he started again. And then he stopped. And I thought, well, I'm going to try this out. And I said, I know that you know what he's saying, God, but it sure is beautiful to me. I wonder how it sounds to you. Do it again. Praise the Lord. And he began to sing again. I went inside, and I thought, well, that blessed me. And, you know, God wants to be with us in every moment of life. So, dead works. Faith towards God. Well, we know that's towards in salvation, but a lifestyle. Everything we do with God involves faith. Doctrine of baptisms. Did you notice that that's plural? Anybody here an English major? What's a plural means? More than one. baptisms, more than one baptism. And the body of Christ largely just fools around with water baptism. Then the laying on of hands. That is so powerful. If we understand something about the laying on of hands, we'd have more stuff going on, association anointings, and people are so afraid. Oh, I don't want somebody transferring something to me. Are you kidding me? You know, that's like darkness trying to come into a lit room. It ain't going to happen. You just got to know what spirit you're of, you know. But the thing about it is people carry diseases. We carry the power of God wherever we go. And we got to see ourselves that way. You know, when I would go visit people in the hospital rooms, I knew they didn't need me to come see them. They needed Jesus. They needed a Christos. They needed anointing. They needed a Bible-believing, tongue-talking, laying hands on the sick, raising up the dead type believer to walk into their room. And so I just figured Christ in me, so Christ would walk down the halls of the hospital. And most of the time when you go to hospital visitation, the beautiful thing is it's very seldom about the person you ever go see. It's usually the person in the bed next door or somebody in the hall or somebody across the way. And, you know, we just live big. Life is exciting. You know, the trouble with most Christians is if you talk to them, it's like, how's your Christian life? Oh, it's sort of boring. Well, the truth of the matter is that's only because you're boring. You know, I mean, refuse to be a boring person. Wake up and say, God, there's an adventure to be had. My wife used to send her boys outside every day when they were little and say, go have an adventure. And boy, could boys find adventures. Then they have the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Got to move on a little bit here. And I guess it didn't come through. But then we've also got, is the next one there? Probably not. Then it's the cloud, which I'm going to now switch over to here into these notes, so I won't be seeing the same thing as you. Yeah. So we have the baptism of repentance, baptism in water, baptism into the body, which we sort of missed about because it was trying to get these all together. Baptism in the Holy Spirit, the baptism of fire. There's a lot of baptisms, plural. The baptism in the cloud and in the sea, or as the Bible also terms it, the baptism into Moses, 1 Corinthians 10:1-2. And then the baptism of power. Let's quickly look at the baptism of repentance. Luke 3:3 tells us that John the Baptist preached the baptism of repentance. It says, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance. The Bible talks about a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. But we have to understand what a baptism is. A baptism is an immersion. It means to be immersed. So what happens in a baptism of repentance is you share the need for Christ for somebody, their heart becomes immersed in that truth, and they respond and give their life to Christ. It's just a simple way of looking at it. So the Luke 24:46-47 says that repentance or remission of sin should be preached in Christ's name to all nations. Repentance, remission of sins. So the baptism of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God through the work of Christ, you know, it's still needed to be preached today. So simply put, in this baptism, the hearer of the gospel is immersed, baptized in the convicting or convincing. The word convict means to convince. Are you convicted? Are you convinced? Overflowing power of the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with the truth of God's word as it pertains to their own sinful personal state. And he or she is then brought into a realization with the illumination and help of the Holy Spirit that they cannot save themselves through works nor any other human means. They then have upon their hearts, immersed or baptized in that convicting power of the Holy Spirit, the light of the truth of God's word. They repent of their sins, trust in the grace of God, and the completed work of their now Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. So there's a brief description of repentance, baptism of repentance. Water baptism, most of us know about that. We all get wet. No. Romans 6:4, Colossians 2:2 describes for us its symbolic identification with Christ. And my wife did a great job the other week or so ministering on that. So if you'd like to understand more about the water baptism, you can just go to the church's website, go to the ministry's website, log on to some of that information and get that and get caught up in what's going on. But we identify with the death, burial, and resurrection position and power that's shared with our Lord Jesus Christ. In water baptism, we're also making an outward public declaration of an inward change from the ways of the old life that lead to death to follow the new ways that lead to life and life more abundantly. So next then we have is the baptism of immersion into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 7, verse 13, King James says, "For by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Christ, we're all baptized into one body." You know, we have the church universal all over the world, the church local here, but we're all part of the same body. All right. And then Amplified says, "And by baptism, united together into one body." So, the baptism of repentance leads an individual to be born again, qualifies an individual to be identified as a Christian, part of the body of Christ. So these passages of Scripture really use a simile between a human body. And you see that in Ephesians. Is everybody an eye? Is everybody a knee? Is everybody an earlobe? You know, it goes on like this, you know. And the answer is no, but we all need it. And, you know, the devil wants to contend to disrupt the harmony within a local church, to hinder that body of believers, impact and influence in their sphere of influence. You know, when part of your body's not working, it's a little hard to run if you're dragging a leg and everything. So so this is successfully accomplished, the expression of Christ in the body, when every part of that body or everybody steps up and attaches themselves and does their part. You don't see the people in the sound booth. You don't see the people in the nursery. You don't see the children once they leave here being taught. You don't see the people coming in and cleaning during the week. You don't see the people in the offices, but they're all a part of the body. I've never seen my heart, but I'm pretty sure it's there. My internal organs, never seen them. I'm glad that they're there. And a lot of times, the people up front are just the external organs. You know, they're just the features, if you would. But the church doesn't just require of you to be a part of the body and need you. God does. And so we need to find out where we can use our gifting. And, you know, I have to say, Jake, you got a crazy gifting, man. I just love that today. It was so much fun listening, and I was just like you know, I was just thinking of what you were saying, Pastor, because, you know, the Bible talks about symbols prophesying, and you're sensitive to pick up on that. But, you know, just because somebody speaks Swahili and we don't understand it doesn't mean it's not a language. And just because a bird says something we don't understand doesn't mean that it's not something God understands. And just because a guitar goes a certain way or a cymbal goes a certain way isn't mean that God isn't speaking through it and wanting to say something. And, you know, most of the time following God is sort of like being like a blind dog in a meat house. You know, you can't see, but you can sense. I know God's doing something. I can't quite see it, but I sense God's doing something. And you start salivating because you know you're getting close. And that's sort of like what's going on here right now. We're not quite sure exactly, but we know something. We can't see it, but we sense it. And we're getting excited. So we just walk from the inside out. Then we got baptism of fire. Well, no, we actually got baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we're going to go back to that because that's what we're supposed to be talking about today. And then baptism of fire. Okay, so a lot of these are actually progressive. After the baptism of the Holy Ghost, baptism of fire. I'll just say this. The Bible says you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost and. Going back to English majors here, what is and? A conjunction. What does a conjunction do? It joins two thoughts. So he says, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and something else is going to go on here. You're going to get some fire. Baptism of the Holy Ghost will put some fire in your Christian life. It'll put some fire in your prayers. It'll put some fire in your speech. It'll change things. Fire changes things. Did not our hearts burn within us as we walked with him by the way? Baptism of fire. You know, the trouble is most of the people get baptized with the Holy Ghost, but they've never pressed into a baptism of fire. Baptism of fire. John the Baptist speaking with this. Holy Ghost and fire. Matthew 3:11. So the old time Pentecostals used to call this consecration. to be set apart, where this baptism is more or less God just sort of comes in and consumes what's left of you that doesn't look like Christ. And that's always fun. Basically, it's kill me, Lord. You know, we say, oh God, I want more of you. Oh God, I want more of you. Well, you know what that means, don't you? Less of you. Well, I never thought of that. I like the idea of more God, but I don't want less of me. That might hurt. It might be hard on my ego. It might embarrass me. And maybe people won't see me the way they used to. Oh, pray that they don't. Baptism of fire. Very few will go there. But without that fiery immersion, we won't have that next baptism where the baptism in the cloud, in the sea. 1 Corinthians 10, 1-2 says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. Neither do we, because ignorant brethren are not fun to pastor. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, that our forefathers were all under the protected by the cloud in which God's presence went before them. So you see, there's a few typologies. The idea of the children of Israel passing through the Red Sea is a type of water baptism. But you also see where the cloud, the Shekinah glory cloud, most of the time you see that, you know, you hear God in his presence referenced in a cloud. So the presence of God, the cloud, they were in the presence of God, covered. God went with them. They're in the presence of God. And, you know, if you want to be in the presence of God, if you look at the Old Testament into the Holy of Holies, there is a series of stages of getting there, but you had to really prepare yourself or you were going to die, you know. And so we a lot of times have outer court experiences with God. And then we go into the inner court and we want to be at the Holy of Holies. But a lot of times what I've seen, and this church is very good at not doing that, and I praise the Lord for that and your leadership, Pastor. But we'll start off in the outer courts, we'll sing, we'll get right to the very Holy of Holies. And then, hey, it's announcement time. Pfft, out we go back to the outer court, and we were right there at the presence of God. You know? And then we want God to touch us, but we're out in the outer court, and he's in the Holy of Holies. So progressive into the presence. And so the fire helps us to get there, and then we're in that baptism of the cloud where we're there in the presence of God. Walking, living, conscious of the presence of God. Brother Lawrence wrote he was an old monk from hundreds of years ago, but he wrote a book called Practicing His Presence. And the idea was when you wake up in the morning, you want to be conscious of the Lord. Throughout the day, you want to be conscious of the Lord with you. I always will text my daughter and I'll say, have a Christ-conscious day. Think of God throughout the day. He's with you. He's driving. He's wherever you are. And Christ in us, he doesn't leave us. The thing is, we leave him. We leave him in our minds, and we leave him in our passions, and we get distracted by other things. But he's always there, and we just have to, you know, I appreciate people like Smith Wigglesworth. No paper in my house, nothing like this. They didn't have television then. But the idea was he didn't want any distractions that would take him away from being Christ conscious. Maybe that's why he raised the dead and different things like this. So, following that, then, is the baptism of power. But you shall receive power. Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Yeah, you'll receive tongues, but it's not about that. It's about the power. It's about the power. You know, elephants have trunks, but they got power. And we've interchanged the term of being baptized with the Holy Spirit and with that of being filled with the Spirit. In Acts 1:8, it tells us that we shall have the Holy Spirit come upon us. So, here's my thing. Either we're filled, which conveys something happening internally, or the Holy Spirit will actually come upon us, which conveys something happening externally. He says the Holy Spirit will come upon us. You know, in talking about the anointing, it's the easiest thing. People get, oh, it's very mystical. It's not. Jesus said this, the Spirit of the Lord has come upon me because he's anointed me. So what happens when you have an anointing, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But here's the thing. If you read in that passage of Scripture, he says, the Holy Spirit is upon me because, If you don't have a because, there's no reason for an anointing. In other words, if you're not, God doesn't anoint do nothings. If you want to have an anointing, do something. I remember one time I would go up to this upper room and I would pray in Winnipeg when this church was just getting started. And I was in there one time praying for a healing anointing. Oh, Lord, please give me a healing anointing. Please give me a healing anointing. And the Lord's like, well, why? There's nobody here to heal. And I was like, well, that sort of makes sense. So I started visiting the hospitals. I'll do the hospitals. And then all of a sudden, an anointing started to grow. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. If you give God a because, he'll give you an anointing. Okay. So, in this spirit upon, spirit within, actually what happens is both. Because there's a Greek word, ekrio and enkrio. One means the spirit within, one means the spirit upon. And when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit within us, bearing witness. But then when we step out in service to God, the Holy Spirit will anoint to come upon. When you're sleeping, God doesn't really need to give you an anointing to play the piano because there's no piano around you. But when you step in behind there, poof, anointing hits. And if you understand anything about the anointing, when David faced Goliath, the little guy was Goliath. Because the anointing will always make you bigger than you are. It's like a puffer fish. And in the spirit, David was far bigger than Goliath. So, baptism in the Holy Ghost. I guess we ought to get going on there real quick. Yep. Basically, three reasons Christians aren't baptized in the Holy Ghost. One, they've never heard about such an experience. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. Paul, having passed through the upper coast, found certain disciples there and said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we've not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. So then he began to expound unto them the different truths concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He laid his hands upon them. They all began to speak in tongue and prophesy. So they said, we've not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. So I guess that's one reason why people aren't baptized in the Holy Ghost. They've never heard of the Holy Ghost. Sadly, a lot of churches are avoiding that subject and robbing themselves of the fullness of the Godhead in their midst and of their potential as Christos, Christ-like, anointed ones walking in the earth. Next, they have heard, but they don't have a full and accurate knowledge. Now, we tie in the beginning of the message right now. They have some knowledge, but not a full knowledge and an accurate knowledge. And so, some will say, well, I've heard this, I've heard that, and it's hard to act on something if you don't have a more full and accurate knowledge. I could throw you in the water and say you're supposed to move your arms and your legs, but somebody should probably teach you about breathing as well. So if you can tie all that together, you'll have a better experience. And so then thirdly, people have heard, but they refuse to believe. And you can't, there's difference between doubt and unbelief. Doubt says, I'm not really sure, give me more information so I can make an intelligent decision. But doubt, but unbelief says, I don't care what you say, my mind's made up. Don't confuse me with the facts. Basically, they're cement-head Christians because they're all mixed up and well set and they've hardened. Okay, so anyways, in order to address these, what I want to do is a quick question and answer format of teaching right now because it's going to help it to go quicker. Question, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Spirit? What is it? Well, the answer is, it's an additional experience to every believer who has confessed Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. It follows salvation. Well, some say, well, no, I don't agree. You get the Holy Spirit at the time you receive Jesus. Well, let me theologically mess around with you a bit. Did you get the Holy Spirit or did you get the Spirit of Christ? Well, they're the same. Well, the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're all one, but they're different. Oh, you're hurting my brain. Good. Okay, let's move on. Nevertheless, I tell you, is it expedient for you that I go away? For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you. John 16:17. Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So Paul said, this is additional experience, something following receiving Christ. You receive Christ, why not receive the Holy Spirit? Okay, so why is it necessary for me? Well, depends how you want to live, I guess. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Why is it necessary for me? Because I can't live for Christ in my own power. I can't heal anybody. I can't stand before and say anything to change anybody's heart unless there's a power working in me. And I need that Holy Ghost power. The word power comes from that Greek word dunamis. We get our English word dynamite. We know that. It's a power, miraculous in its working. But here's so what it also refers to. That word power is interesting because remember Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He was referring to this because that word power also means ability. So after that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you receive ability. You can start doing things you never could do before because the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to do them. And what you could do, you do at a higher level because it's anointed. The ability of God is working through you. After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You receive the word energeia, energy. People have asked me sometime when I was pastoring, Pastor, how do you do this? How do you step? I'm anointed to do it. I have the energy of God to do it. I have the wisdom of God to do it. And if I wasn't in that office, I wouldn't have that. And sometimes people are like, well, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can do that. You can't until you say yes and step into it. Then God will give you the energy. Then God will give you the ability. Then God will give you the wisdom and the anointing. Because for every appointing, there's an anointing with no disappointing. Be energized by the Holy Spirit. Apostle Paul declared, and we said that. What about this tongue stuff? What is tongues? Well, what is tongues? Something in your mouth. No. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Tongues is the initial sign of having received the Holy Spirit. It's the supernatural evidence of the Holy Spirit's indwelling. All right, so it's the beginning. It's the beginning. You see, some people think, well, when I speak in tongues, there I got it, now I just go sit down, that's the end of life. Well, it's just the beginning. You're receiving more than just tongues. You're receiving ability and power and other things like this. I want you to see that. Do I have to speak in tongues? The answer is no. You get to. You get to. You don't have to. You get to. It's like being a part of my dad's family. It's not my money, but I get to spend it. Maybe it's supposed to be as teenagers, maybe not so much now. But you know, it was just like it's one of the benefits I get to. So why do I need to speak in tongues? I mean, is it really necessary? Let's see what the next one is. Yep, see, there it is. The elephant. Some people want to be an elephant, but no trunk, please. Yeah, I'm sorry. They want to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I don't want to speak in tongues, but I want this baptism of the Holy Spirit things. That speaking in tongues is weird, but I see the difference in your life, so I want what you want. I want the Holy Spirit, but I want it a little different way. I want what you want, but I don't want to have to speak in tongues. I would like the elephant, please, but please hold the trunk. I mean, they just come hand in hand. It's just, if you're going to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're going to get the ability and the privilege of speaking in another tongue. Why do I need to speak in tongues? Is it really necessary? Yes, it is. Jude 20, when you speak or pray in tongues, you edify or build yourself up spiritually. Sort of like a battery. You ever had battery get low? But when you pray in an unknown tongue, you begin to stir yourself spiritually. Well, I feel so tired. Then pray in tongues. Well, I don't know what to pray. That's why you pray in tongues. Because your head doesn't always know, but your spirit knows. So you pray in tongues. You edify. I would encourage you on the way to church, speak in tongues. You know, well, I don't know what I'm saying. We'll cover that. Who am I speaking to when I speak in tongues? God! God. It's your hotline to heaven, your secret code for spiritual warfare that you're in. One is speaking mysteries or divine secrets the enemy of your soul cannot comprehend, 1 Corinthians 14:2. In the natural, there was a movie out years ago based on World War II Wind Talkers. And what was happening is the Japanese, when they were fighting them, they used to have to run lines. A guy would have a radio set here, and then somebody would risk their life, and they'd run a line over to the other guy, getting shot at and everything else like this, so they could communicate to each other. Well, then the Japanese would come by and just click into the line and listen, and they knew exactly what was going on. So the United States government had a great idea. they said, hey, let's speak a language they don't know. So they don't know what we're saying. So they got people off the Navajo Indian reservation, and they're there, yap, 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 yap. What? Okay, we'll bomb over there. Whatever it was. Yeah, that sounds Japanese. And then he's over here. And then he's over here. And so, you know, here's the thing. That was Navajo code talkers. They were talking in code. Why? Because they were in a warfare. And they say, aren't they smart? Well, they're not as smart as God. God is. So if man in natural warfare has a code, why wouldn't God in spiritual warfare? Yes. Yes. We forget that. But we're reminding you today. So here's the thing. We're going to move on. So I want you to understand. You're speaking to God. You're speaking in a language that the devil can't hear. Drives him nuts. That's why it's a good idea to speak in tongues. Drive him. He's already crazy, but push him over the edge. But I don't understand what I'm saying, so what good is that? 1 Corinthians 14:14 tells us your mind will not understand what's being said, but it's not a mental exercise. It's a spiritual activity. My spirit prayeth. One translation says your spirit, human spirit, by the Holy Spirit prays within you. Just because the Holy Spirit doesn't choose to use your natural language doesn't mean it's not a language. Noe, come on up here real quick. Yeah, come on. You speak Spanish, right? Yeah, sure. Okay. Say some things in Spanish to everybody here.
¿Cómo están?
Quiero comer enchiladas. Okay. Now, some of you understood him, right? Did anybody not understand him? Raise your hand. Well, apparently what you spoke was not a language. I'm sorry. Because people couldn't understand it, therefore it must not be a language. Thank you, Noe. But we know it was, and somebody understood it. But see, just because somebody comes in here speaking whatever language of the world, I don't know how many hundreds there must be, just because we don't understand it doesn't mean it's not a language and God doesn't understand it. And so, everything you do with God requires faith. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God. You come to the Lord, you need to utilize and activate faith for salvation. You need to activate faith for healing. You need to activate faith for your needs being met. And you need to activate faith when you're praying in tongues as well. I have faith that what I'm saying, God will understand even though I don't. So I bypass my natural mind, I walk out of my spirit, and I do this as an exercise of my faith. What are some of the results of speaking in tongues? Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27 helps us pray more effectively. When you pray more effectively, you get better results because we're always, always, always praying according to the will of God. You cannot pray in tongues and not be praying according to the will of God because your spirit, by the Holy Spirit, touches your human spirit and allows you to pray to God according to the will of God, the Bible says. How many would you like to pray every day according to the will of God? All right, some of you aren't smart enough to raise your hand. That's fine, okay. You know, I would want to every day I don't want to miss God, so I'm going to pray every day in tongues. And especially when it comes for praying for your children. Do you know how to pray for your children? I think so, but I don't always know so. So I'm just going to pray in tongues. Do you know how to pray for your future opportunities that are awaiting you that you don't even know about yet? The Holy Spirit does. So you pray for those things according to the will of God. Jude 20, it stimulates your faith, keeps it active. Romans 8, 26, it helps us to pray for the unknown because we're going to walk into that. Isaiah 28, it brings a spiritual refreshing. And 1 Corinthians 14, it helps me worship God. One of the highest things you can do is learn to sing in the Spirit, much less just pray in the Spirit. It'll take you to a new level there. What about all those biblical passages? We're going to look at those real quick, those arguments about not speaking in tongues. Well, we're going to look at those real quick. Okay, public tongues. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 1 tells us that, okay, I'm going to read that. Okay, so messages in tongues. Okay, there's two types of tongues. There's private tongues where you pray, And there's these public tongues where you give a message in tongues in a public assembly, which should be followed by interpretation. See, because tongues and interpretation is equal to prophecy. Basically, now we're getting into spiritual gifts. But it brings an edifying to the public corporate gathering, whereas praying in tongues privately brings an edifying to you. So that's where most people mess it up, is because they don't understand there is a public use of tongues to edify the body with interpretation and a private use to edify yourself. Okay, Jude 20, Romans 8, 26. It's all there. Anyways, you come talk to me about it afterwards. Like I said, we're not going to get through this. It's all good. Lord, osmosis, we pray in Jesus' name. Argument number two. Some people say, well, it passed away with the apostles. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13, 8 to 12. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, see, it says right there, they'll cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall pass away, and you go on. So what I normally do is I just ask somebody this. Let's look at the whole passage of Scripture. It says, tongues shall cease, and whether there be knowledge, it shall pass away. So I usually just say, has knowledge passed away? Meantime, you're thinking, you're wondering, because you're talking to this person, and you're thinking, knowledge has passed away, but it hasn't. Anyway, so knowledge has not passed away, so neither is tongues. And it says, and that which is perfect has come. And people say, well, yeah, we have the Bible. I don't know if there's anybody that would agree that we have any perfect translation. It's referring to the second coming of Christ, when that which is perfect has come, the return of the millennial kingdom, where God sets everything back into divine order. But until then, we need help on this side of eternity, and we need the Holy Spirit to help us to pray in tongues. So it didn't pass away with the apostles, and it's still for today. And then when it says, let one speak and the rest remain silent, well, the very fact that you made knowledge of the fact that somebody was speaking in tongues, that's an argument for, not against. And then, okay, tongues is of the devil. Nowhere are you ever going to find a scriptural proof for that, because God's not the author of confusion, but of peace. And finally, Luke says, if you ask God for the Holy Ghost, he'll give you the Holy Ghost, not some serpent, not some stone. So if you ask for the gift of tongues, the ability to speak in tongues, God's not going to let the devil get in and get you. Okay. And then we talked about, I received the Holy Spirit when I received Jesus, but we saw where Paul said, since you believed, have you received? Okay. And is it really necessary for me being a Christian? Well, my thought is, how do you want to live? You know? I mean, I don't want low-level Christian living. I want to find out whatever God's got for me. I want that. And then I want to be hungry for more, because I know God's always got more than what I know about. And here's the thing. In Acts 1:8, it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. You have a hard time with tongues? The first thing it says is cast out devils. We haven't even talked about casting out devils, and people have a hard time with tongues. Maybe we should talk about casting out devils. Then they'll have an easier time with tongues. And so goes on from there. So if you're a spirit-filled believer, tongues is something that should follow your life. So what were Paul's final words on this? Brethren, covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak in tongues. Forbid not to speak in tongues. Forbid not. Forbid not. Forbid not. Well, what did Paul really think about it? Forbid not. So it was Paul's final words about this whole thing. Forbid not. So do it. So let's stand to our feet real quick. And I find that God's a great multitasker. He can speak to you and to me and to you. And to me, how many of you know God could speak to each and every one of us at the same time right now? And also that the Lord can be on more than one thing at a time. He's here, but he's with the children as well. He's with people in their retirement homes or wherever they might be. So we're going to give God an opportunity to multitask today by doing three things here. We're going to get ready to dismiss you because it's about the time. We need to do so, and we want to honor that and our workers in the back. And please, when you go pick up your children, thank them for their service. The next thing is, don't tell them that they missed it today, because if they were where they were supposed to be, they didn't miss a thing. And their blessing awaits them there. And thank them for walking in their gift and calling. The next is, so we're going to get ready. We're going to get ready to pray. And so in a moment here, we're going to give you an opportunity to come forward if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. You say, well, I've been prayed for before and I just never received. Let me tell you something. There are some things, I wish we had more time, but we don't, and I understand that. But I've never, only one time in 40 years, had one person that I've ever went to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit that never received. And because the Lord finally, I looked at him and says, you don't believe a word of this, do you? He says, no. I says, go sit down. We're wasting both of our time. So, you know, but the thing is, there's certain things we do that hinder us. And there's some certain natural things we can do that will help us to receive. And so I can guarantee you, if you have never spoken tongues, you will leave here today speaking in tongues. I can guarantee you that. Then, so we're going to open up the altar for people. The other thing is, too, there is a man I was telling Pastor, he was an apostolic elder, and he says, well, I'm sort of stuck. When somebody first prayed for me, I spoke in tongues, but it's been over 20 years and I haven't spoke. I said, well, you're just stuck. Let's get you unstuck. So if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues, and you're ready to have that power working in you, we're going to give you an opportunity to do so by coming to the front. If you're stuck and you haven't prayed in quite some time and need a little bit of help to get unstuck, we're here for you too. But if you need to leave, you're free to do that. And if you want a fellowship, please feel free to do that. And as we finish ministering up front, we'll release you. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Pastor, however you want to go with it from here. Yeah.
Hello. All right. We were in Uganda this last season of time. And it's interesting where you went from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We just touched on that. Then we went to the cloud. Then we went to the body. Then we went to fire. And we were covering the baptisms. So they were kind of interested in it all. But most of them went up to the baptism of water. They could raise their hands. But when you went to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there was literally countless numbers that did not raise their hands. So I'd go through all the seven quickly, and then we'd come back to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And by the time we got back there, they were ready to receive it because it was a saturation of what God wanted to do. And I said, you have to go here to get there. And so this is a good thing. And I think maybe the biggest confusing problem in northern Minnesota, it said they talked about number two being the insanity line. And anyone that lived on the other side of number two was insane, you know? And so you're on that side.
Praise God.
But it's something that we had something like 400 people come forward and got filled with the Holy Spirit. We had a whole church, pastor, his wife, the whole church come forward with leaders and got filled with the Holy Spirit.
Just changed that ministry forever. Changed
it. And you know what it was? It was so crazy because it was like, it wasn't like, oh, well, it was like we didn't know about this and we're going to do it. And the pastor, then Steve Mianje took over, and you know, him with the Holy Ghost, it just got so crazy that it was wonderful. People just started passing out or being slayed in the Spirit on the ground. We were out in the pasture. It was a cool deal. So I just really encourage, as we go through, just think of the stuff that Dave covered today, you know, but it's all there. And you know, I'm just clicking when he was going, it was like a clicking deal. So I encourage anyone that has not come forward, and encourage you to become a teacher of the power of the Holy Spirit in that, because that'll change people's lives. Amen. God bless you. You can be dismissed. Those that are needing ministry, please come forward at this time. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. Those that are going to the camp, I mean, them kids are going to have a blast. You can talk with Danny if you have any financial areas that you wanted to pass on to the camp. You can talk with Danny. And God bless you. And now, all of you that are needing prayer, please come forward, and the rest are dismissed.
Amen.
All right.
Will do. Thanks, Pat.